Praise the Lord. I am glad to be here tonight. You know, it was difficult to get over here today. There is no sidewalk. It's all muddy and where to walk. And you can't park real close to the church. And, you know, I thought, wow, this is a bit of a feat. But, you know, I got thinking as I sat down and started playing at the piano. It just, you know, just came to me how wonderful it is to be able to gather and assemble. And I couldn't help but remember Brother Jim's story about the little woman who was all bent over, crippled, walking very slowly, got up very, very early in the morning, walking to a church. And, you know, perhaps the story took place in China or someplace like that, but, you know, she was asked, "Where are you going? Why are you doing this? It looked like such a feat. It looked like it was so difficult for her to have this adventure, to be going, you know, someplace in her condition." Well, she said, "I'm going to church." And, you know, they asked, you know, "Well, why? You know, why? You know, why are you making such an effort? It looks like it's so hard for you." Well, she said, "My heart gets there before my feet do." And praise the Lord, you know, because it was in her heart to be in church. And what a joy it is, you know, when people have it in their heart to gather, to assemble, to be with God's people, to worship the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. I'm so thankful. If the Lord put it within us, you know, that great treasure that we have in the Lord Jesus that is worth more than anything else in this world, the treasures that we have on the other side that are waiting the people of God. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know, oh yes, that we have this hope in our earthen vessel, something beyond this world, something beyond the conflicts and the trials and all the things. I mean, come on, let's face it. In this life, you know, there's things all the time. You know, things go up, things go down, things go up, things go down. You know, there's all these moments. And I know, I speak with a lot of people, and I know there's a lot of trials out there. But praise the Lord, our God is with us. Praise the Lord, and we know that there are treasures on the other side that await God's people. And praise the Lord, if we could just continue to walk this walk of faith and keep on, you know, traveling this road. Praise the Lord, with the Lord's help, we're going to get home one of these days. Praise the Lord, we're going to get home. He's going to help us. He's going to take us there. Praise the Lord, and we're going to see our Lord, and we're going to be with Him forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I do have a request here. It says my granddaughter had a bad car accident. Drunk driver hit her head on. Took hours to get her out with jaws of life. She has a concussion and multiple bone fractures. Pray for her healing and soul. Her name is Christina. Oh, Christine, is it? Oh, Shirley. Okay. Oh, my. Okay. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray and talk to the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before you, Lord. We thank you that we know that where two or three are gathered together in your name. Oh, Lord, that you are in our midst. Oh, Lord, we thank you that, oh, Lord, you've given us this opportunity to bring our hearts to thee, Lord. Oh, God, together, Lord, though we be at a distance and, oh, Lord, that we be spread apart, oh, Lord, yet, oh, God, I know that you've gathered your people together, Lord, for this night, oh, God. Oh, God, for this study, Lord, for this gathering, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would meet with us. I pray, oh God, that you would stop with us. I pray, oh God, that you teach us what we need to know here tonight. Oh God, truly we could do nothing without you, Lord. We thank you for, oh God, the great treasure that we have. And, oh God, waiting us, Lord. Oh God, the hope that you give us everlasting life, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, the joy of our salvation, Lord. And God, I pray for Christine, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you touch her right now, Lord. I pray that you move in the name of Jesus, God. you know, this need, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd save her soul and help her, Lord, that you'd speak to her, Lord. Oh God, I pray that she'd feel thy presence and thy touch. Oh God, we bind the spirits of the devil, Lord, and anything, oh Lord, that might come to oppose, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you talk to her heart. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, we bring these things to you, Jesus. You know the needs of your people, Lord. You see everything, you hear everything, God. Oh God, you know the burdens of our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd meet the needs of your people, that you'd meet their burdens, Lord. Oh God, that you'd give us peace deep within, Lord. And oh God, faith to believe you, Lord. Oh God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh God, we just pray that you would work, Lord. I pray that your spirit would minister to us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that you talk to our hearts and help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be, Lord. Give us faith, give us courage, give us strength that comes from you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you work tonight. Oh God, that you meet the burdens, the hearts of your people, Lord. Oh God, that you'd be here to fill with the Holy Ghost, oh Lord. Oh God, to work in a mighty way, Lord, to save to the uttermost. Oh God, we're believing you, Lord, these needs that we bring before you, Lord. Oh God, touch tonight and talk to our loved one's heart. Oh Lord, help Christine, Lord, in Jesus' name. And oh Lord, I pray that you would save her and deliver her in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh God, and that you'd be here, Lord. Oh God, believing you're touching Wild's mother too, Lord. And oh God, bringing her to that place where she needs to be in you, Lord. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to call this message here tonight, Getting Ready to Meet the King. Praise the Lord. Getting ready to meet the King. Oh, praise the Lord. We know that our afflictions on this life in this earth are just but for a short moment. We all endure them. And yes, we are told that it's predictable, that, you know, this life has its moments. And, you know, we're going to have to fight in this life. There are ups and downs. There are troubles. There are trials. There are burdens. But praise the Lord. We've got the Lord. And He is with us. And He promised to be with us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we know that all the frustrations of this world will soon be over. These things that we're facing here, as you know, we still have this coronavirus and you know, all the trouble that it's causing, all the bans that are in place and all the frustrations and you know, all the things that we're reading about, we kind of know that, you know, there's way more to the story than they want to let us know. But praise the Lord, we can pray against their plots and their plannings. Oh yes, their intention to perhaps bring about a vaccination that they would, you know, put upon every individual if they could. And oh yes, their intervention with privacy and all the things that they are doing at this moment. Their call for some kind of form of government to take over, if they say temporarily, in order to tackle this virus. But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God. Oh yes, and He is over all. And praise the Lord, He knows, you know, there's a reason for this. You know, there is a reason for this. You know, God sees the condition of this world. He sees the condition of His church. He knows what it's going to take to get us to that place where we're on fire for Him, where our lamps are trimmed and burning, where the trivials of this world are not agitators that disturb us and hinder us and cause us, you know, great trouble. But But praise the Lord knows how to give us victory and how to give us faith and how to lead us in even times like these. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And what we do know is one day soon our Lord will come and not tarry. Praise the Lord. He is going to come, and He is going to come to judge this world in righteousness. That day when it is will be said that he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Oh, when everything comes to a stop. Oh, things are kind of at a stop right now in some ways. You know, but that's nothing in comparison to the stop when God intervenes in this world completely and finally, and it's over. And all the things that men have devised to do, all their plots and all their plannings will be completely put to a halt. Amen. Oh, yes, it's going to end. And the curtain's going to be drawn. And yes, if you're unjust, that's how you're going to end up. If you're filthy, you're going to end up filthy. If you're righteous, thank God, you'll be righteous forever. And he that is holy, yes, let him be holy still. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Jesus declared in Revelation 22, verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Oh, yes, that day is coming. Oh, yes, it's sooner than so many think. We have said it many times. We don't know the day or the hour. But my, we can see the same. We can see the signs. Oh, yes. We can see what's going on in this world. We can see their agendas somewhat. And we know, oh, yes, what they're trying to do in many ways. But praise the Lord. Our God will come and not tarry. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and those books will be opened. And oh, yes, the judgment will come forth. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 19 here for a little bit. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we're going to get ready. We are getting ready to meet the King. And oh, yes, he's not a king here on the earth in that sense, one that we can see. But oh yes, he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. Oh yes, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. Oh yes, praise the Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Chapter 19, Revelation. It tells us in verse 1, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of many people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." Amen. And again they said, "Alleluia." And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen. Alleluia." And a voice came out of the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, what a moment this is going to be. Oh, yes, oh, that heavenly chorus. Yes, as the 24 elders lead it. Oh, yes, I believe 24 representing, the saints of the first covenant and the saints of the second covenant. 12 standing for the sons there of Judah, and also 12 for the 12 apostles. But here it is, representing those two dispensations, those two periods of times. And of course, the four beasts represent angels, seraphims, as they are identified in Revelation, the fourth chapter. And yes, they lead the worship here. And they worship God that sat on the throne. And oh yes, that voice that comes out from the throne. Oh yes, that admonition to praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And oh, can you imagine that heavenly chorus? Oh, I want to be part of this heavenly chorus. I want to take place in this. Praise the Lord. The voice of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters, oh, the peoples of the earth that have lived and overcome. Praise the Lord. And are there before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Oh, yes, the voice of mighty thunderings. Oh, yes, that heavenly chorus is, oh, yes, you can hear it as, oh, yes, it comes forth. Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Oh, yes. There is a time to prepare. You know, this little time of earth that we have, this little time on earth that we have is short. Seems like it doesn't take too long to realize how fleeting time is. But what is life about? If we're looking at it properly, it's about getting ready to meet the Lord. It's about preparing our hearts for the great day of the Lord, for the day of His judgment, for the things that are forthcoming. That day when we all have to go before the throne of God to present ourselves, and He will judge us according to our works on how we want to be covered in His righteousness. Oh, yes, how we want to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. That fine linen, which is the righteousness of saints. And we know it's not going to be of our own self, of our own works. It's not going to be by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us. Praise the Lord by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, oh, the wonder of salvation, the wonder of the grace of God, His great mercy. Oh, yes, that He redeemed us, though we were unworthy, though we were not fit. Oh, yes, though we had no right to think that we could ever be His sons and daughters. But praise the Lord bought us, He redeemed us. He made a way that we could be born into His kingdom and become His children. Praise the Lord, joint heirs of Christ, His sons and His daughters. Praise the Lord, and it's not going to be by our own works. Not by any means, But according to his mercy, he saved us. So praise the Lord by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we had those wonderful moments when we could come before the Lord, when we could, oh, yes, bow our knee and repent and turn our life over to the Lord. Praise the Lord and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, those waters. Oh, yes. That, oh, yes, identified us with Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, so we could put on Christ and become new creatures in Christ. The washing of regeneration. So, yes, we could be regenerated and become new creatures in Christ. And then the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, that seal that comes from our God when he poured out the Spirit of the living God upon us. And we spake with other tongues. Oh, yes, as he came upon us. Praise the Lord and filled us with his Spirit. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord that day. Oh, yes. When the marriage of the Lamb is come. But yes, while we're still here on this earth, there is need that we would be making ourselves ready. Oh, yes, there are steps that we need to take. Amen. Oh, yes, the finality is much upon us. Oh, yes, that trump of the Lord, when that trump sounds, that seventh trump, oh, that seventh angel sounding that seventh trump there in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, and oh yes, all at once it's pronounced, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Praise the Lord, oh, that moment that we are looking for. But you know, in that 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, it tells us at that point in the 18th verse, as oh yes, as the nations were angry, oh, that moment of his wrath, it says in verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Oh, yes, that moment, which will mean everything. Oh, yes, he that is, you know, unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Oh, yes, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Oh, that moment has come, the moment of the pouring out of God's wrath. And how they're going to flee. Oh, how they're going to try to find, oh, some kind of hiding place from the hands of the Lord. Oh, from his great wrath. Oh, yes, saying to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. As it tells us in Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, how we need to be clothed in the righteousness of our God. Oh, yes, how we need to be covered with his blood. Oh, yes, how we need to have those sins taken care of so that we can stand before the Lord. Oh, yes, clothed with white robes and having palms in our hands or overcoming, oh, yes, the struggles and the trials and the tests of this world. Oh, what a moment that will be. Praise the Lord. In Mark, the 8th chapter, it tells us at the very end of this chapter, looking at verse 36 here. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 38 tells us, Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Oh, what a moment that will be when he comes. And how we want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." How we want to be called faithful at that moment. But how needful it is this moment to stand the test of time. Oh yes, to stand up for the Lord. Oh yes, never bowing to, oh yes, the whims of man, following after their thoughts and ways. We don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. We want to stand up for him. Oh yes, because, oh yes, he tells us clearly here in this 8th chapter of Mark, that if we've been ashamed of him, if we've not stood up for him, if we've not declared his word, if we've been embarrassed and tried to hide from, you know, trying to be obviously a Christian, we've tried to hide the light that shines in the children of God, then he is going to be ashamed of us when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And oh, how that will be. Oh, yes, at that moment when every eye shall see him. Oh, yes, and they, yes, that pierced him are going to see him. And all kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. Oh, what a moment that is going to be when he comes. It's not going to be as it was at the first when he came to this world as a baby, unknown, as a lowly one. No, this time, oh, he's going to come in great glory. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he's going to come in the glory of his Father. And oh, yes, it's going to be very pronounced. It's going to be very known. It's going to be very definite. There's going to be no hiding. There's going to be no retreating. There's going to be no way to escape it when he comes. Oh, yes. As it tells us again in Revelation 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. Oh, what a moment it is going to be. You know, Jesus spoke often of it in the parables that he told while he was on this earth. We could turn now to the book of Matthew. Praise the Lord. Matthew, and let's look at chapter 21 here. It tells us here in this parable, looking at verse 33. "There was another," well, let's just start with the very first word here. "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first. And they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said unto themselves," or they said among themselves, "this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, verse 42, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. It tells us that when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Well, I'll tell you what, such moments as it was. But oh yes, Jesus was speaking, referencing himself. And yes, we know that he was very despised. Oh, he was very disrespected. He was very scorned, and his own people had him crucified. And indeed, it is as the scriptures had declared, in spite of the fact that he was rejected, that he was refused, in spite of that, he has become the head of the corner. All the marvel of the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, praise the Lord. But he has given us these moments, these opportunities to embrace his wonderful plan. Oh, yes, we don't have to be like those that rejected him, those that scorned the blessing of salvation, those that mocked those that had him crucified. We don't have to be like unto them. But we have opportunity right now to fall on the rock. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in verse 44 again, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Oh yes, when we meet the Lord Jesus, when we have that understanding and realization that we are a sinner, it's going to break us. Oh yes, that will. Oh yes, that pride. Oh yes, all the wickedness that, you know, we suddenly perceive that we have thought and done, and all, you know, all the intentions that we had that were not according to God's ways. But what a wonderful thing it is, oh yes, to get to that place where, oh yes, we can surrender our hearts and lives over to the living God. Oh yes, let him take our lives. But you know, he breaks it so that he might recreate a new person, that he might bring forth a new creation. Oh yes, that he might make us his sons and his daughters, and oh, make us unto his own image. Praise the Lord that we might indeed be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, oh yes, that he might give us power to become the sons of God. Praise the Lord. But on the other hand, if we do not regard this great need to surrender our lives over to the living God, there is this day of judgment. Oh yes, when our Lord will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yes, if we have rejected him, if we have despised him, if we have mocked him, if we have not given heed to the glorious gospel, that stone is going to fall upon us and grind us into powder. Well, that is the great day of our Lord. Oh, yes, which is coming forth. Oh, yes, when our God comes forth to judge this world in righteousness. But praise the Lord, we have opportunity right now to get ready to meet the King. Amen. Oh, yes, we have, oh, yes, these moments right now to prepare our hearts. And to make sure that we have oil in our lamps. Oh, yes. And not only oil in our lamps, but extra oil. Oh, sufficient oil so that oil will not burn out in the time of trouble, in the time of need. Oh, yes, we're seeing tremendous things coming upon the face of this earth right now. Oh, yes, we are beginning to see great trials and tribulation. And only God knows what tomorrow may bring forth. But praise the Lord, we have opportunity now to call upon the living God. And yes, to give Him our lives. And to make ourselves ready. To get ready to meet the King. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Let's start with verse 17 here in this epistle to the church at Ephesus. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20 tells us, but ye have not so learned Christ. Oh no, those are not our ways when we turned our lives over to the living God. Oh yes, we allowed our lives to be crushed by that rock, broken by that rock. Oh yes, so that He could make us a new creature. Oh yes, all these other things, all these things of our past, the filthiness, oh yes, the foolishness of sin, the alienation from the life of God and all the ignorance that comes with that. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord takes all of those things, all those tendencies. Oh, yes, the person that we once were, He begins to take it and He begins to reform us. And oh, yes, make us a new creature in Christ. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. And then it tells us that He put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Oh, that's a description of our old life before we knew the Lord. All those old tendencies and all the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all those things, the old conversation, the way we talked, the way we thought, the deeds we did, all those deceitful lusts, the ways that we lived in, under the allurement of sin. But here, yes, if we put on Christ, then, oh yes, we put off these former tendencies, these former ways. God's going to give us a new life. He's going to give us new opportunities. Oh yes, He's going to remake us. Oh yes, a new person in Jesus Christ. So it tells us to put off concerning the former conversation, the old conduct, in other words, the old ways, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is there to renew our minds. And oh, yes, We get that renewing, oh yes, by going to the Word of God and letting those words of life soak into our being. Oh, we get that renewing down on our knees when we're seeking the Lord, pouring out our hearts and turning everything over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we get that renewing when we're praying in the Spirit. Praise the Lord and letting Him take us and, oh, reformat us and change us and, oh, turn those things around that need to be turned around. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, for the hearing of His Word. Praise the Lord. All that is renewing in the spirit of your mind. Praise the Lord. Letting the Lord take our thoughts. Oh, putting off all the other contrary stuff, all the foolish notions and all the rambling and all the, you know, crazy things that try to take over in our minds. And yes, it tells us in verse 24, and that He put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise the Lord. It's, again, we know it's not our righteousness. Oh, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And oh, yes, we were all as an unclean thing. And oh, we had no hope in ourselves, in our own works, in our own deeds. But praise the Lord, I love how He says here, and that you put on the new man. Yes, that's what this is all about. It's, you know, we identify with the Lord Jesus in the waters of baptism. Yes, go down in that water, symbolic of coming up as a new creature in Christ. Oh, yes, with a promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, so we put on the new man. Praise the Lord. A new man which after God is created. I love how it says created here. Oh, to create is to make from nothing. We were nothing of our own self. You know, again, we've said it and said it. Our whole righteousnesses were as filthy rags in the sight of God. We had no means of helping ourselves. But God takes us, no matter how filthy, how bad, how tormented, oh, and how despicable we were. Praise the Lord, how many disabilities we had and how hopeless it all seemed. God takes us to change us, to make us new creatures in Christ. Yes, after God is created, made from nothing, made from, oh yes, that despairing old man that we once were, is created in righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord, so we could be clothed in His righteousness and true holiness. Praise the Lord. So there are going to be changes in our lives. Our thought process is going to change. You know, our words are going to change. Our way of doing things is going to change. Oh yes, the way we dress is going to change. It tells us here in verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Praise the Lord. Yes, those tendencies that we once had, you know, put it away. It's got to go, you know. There's, you know, none of that in the kingdom of God. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And you know, believe what it's referring to when it says be angry. It's speaking to a righteous indignation. Jesus was angry when He saw that there were money changers in the temple. You know, stealing from the people and, you know, selling their goods in the temple, you know, making them turn their coins into temple money and at a fee. And all of that, all the wickedness that was going on, they had made His temple, instead of a place of prayer, a den of thieves. He saw that, and yes, there was angry indignation that came up within him. And so it says, yes, be angry and sin not. There are times, yes, when we see the works in this world and all the unholiness and all the wickedness, yes, it stirs within our being. And sometimes there are actions that we need to take because of it. And then it explains, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And oh my, you know, you don't want to lay your head on your pillow and have a whole bunch of angry turbulence in your heart. It's so important to turn those things over to the Lord, to get rid of them, to let them go. And you don't take them to bed with you. Praise the Lord. We have a merciful judge. Oh, yes, we have a merciful God. If we will come to Him in repentance, oh, yes, He knows how to help us and how to forgive us. Oh, yes, how to turn those things around. You know, it's just that wonderful opportunity, that advocate we have with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know, that we can turn all those things over to Him, knowing that He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We can turn those things over to the Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, that's the wonderful mercy of our God. There is none so merciful as He is. And what a wonderful opportunity we have now to come to Him and be broken upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, to let Him take all those things, all those tendencies, all that sin away from us so that we could be new creatures in Christ. Praise the Lord. Then verse 27 here in Ephesians 4 tells us, neither give place to the devil. Oh my. We don't want to give the devil any opportunities. We don't want to leave him a chair to sit on. We don't want to leave things that would cause us to be tempted. You don't need beer in your refrigerator. You shouldn't have none of that in your house. You shouldn't have a pile of filthy magazines and books under your bed or something. Or, you know, things from the past that are not nice. You know, you don't want any of those things. You don't want to give any opportunity or any place to the devil. It's important, yes, to, you know, don't give him any chance. Don't go someplace where, you know you're going to be tempted and put in that place where, you know, you could lose it. So let's remember that. Don't give the devil opportunity to tempt you, neither give place to the devil. And then it tells us in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Praise the Lord, that need to make an honest living. You know, those old things, you know, if that was your lifestyle before, God forbid that it should continue. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Praise the Lord that, yes, we need to just work honestly and, you know, do what you can, even not only just for yourself, but to help other people. And then verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, they don't want to hear anything filthy come out of our mouths. You know, we don't want to be misrepresenting the kingdom of God. We're His ambassadors. We're pilgrims and strangers for the cause of Christ in this world. And, you know, we would be misrepresenting that kingdom if we use all these filthy words and ways of thought, thinking come out of our mouths. So yes, it tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh yes, I believe people can tell a great deal about us by the way we talk, by the way we think. It's going to come out of our mouths. You know, we're giving glory to God if we're thankful. You know, if we're, you know, just showing up that kind of positive spirit in that sense where it's glorifying God. People are going to perceive that there is something different about us. Oh yeah, we don't use all those filthy words that other people use. And we surely do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Oh, there's no place for that. It tells us in this fifth chapter of Ephesians, verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Oh yes. We're identifying ourselves by the way we talk. So yes, we're commanded here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, praise the Lord. Our words, oh, they are a testimony in themselves. The way we think is going to come out by the way we talk. And praise the Lord, we want to do it unto edification. Oh, that it would build up, that it would cause others to think and to even ponder, there's got to be something different about that person. You know, and maybe you talked, you know, in a filthy manner in previous years and times. But what a testimony that is. Oh, when others can see how the Lord has changed you. You don't talk like that anymore. You don't say those words anymore. You don't drink that beer anymore. You know, you don't dress like you once did. You know, you don't have those tendencies. You've given it over to the Lord. You don't try to be dishonest. Oh, my. All those other things, all those deceitful lusts that once were a part of our makeup before we knew the Lord. So none of that do we want to be a part of our being when our life is given over to the Lord Jesus. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And verse 30 tells us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in that first chapter of Ephesians, when it talks about our life in Christ. If we just look at just a little portion of Scripture here. Oh, boy. Verse 11, Ephesians, the first chapter. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Praise the Lord. That's why we're living. We're living to be a praise unto His glory, that, you know, people can see Jesus in us, that they can tell by our works that we belong to the Lord and therefore glorify our Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. And verse 13 tells us, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the Spirit of promise that Jesus had ordained for His people. Oh, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. There was that promise that we would be sealed with His Holy Spirit, a promise. Yes, we were told that in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke that he was going to send the promise of his Father upon us. They were told to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with that power from on high. Amen. Luke, the 24th chapter. But yes, it tells us, verse 13 again, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Oh, praise the Lord. He sealed us with his Holy Spirit, that Spirit of promise. Oh, praise the Lord, because it's the earnest of our inheritance. Oh, yes, he's coming back. Oh, to redeem us. And yes, that earnest money has been laid down. Oh, yes, so that trump sounds. Oh, yes, he's going to gather. He's going to gather his elect. He's going to gather. Oh, yes. That earnest money that, oh yes, he has purchased, those that he has redeemed. Praise the Lord. But here in this fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, again, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, there are many things that grieve the heart of God, and we don't want any of that in our being. Oh my, no sin, no idolatry, no unbelief, no hypocrisy, no works of the flesh, all those things that need to be put down. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, wherein we have been called to walk in the light. We don't want to be walking in darkness. We don't want to be doing works of the flesh. Oh, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. God forbid. Then it explains in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All those tendencies that sometimes build up. Oh, yeah, we all know life isn't fair. There's a lot of things that go wrong. We are fighting battles. This life is a battle of faith. And yes, there are going to be knots in the road. Oh, there are going to be, things that go wrong. But oh my, we don't want bitterness to be deep inside our being. We've got to let these things go. And we certainly don't want wrath to be down there. We don't want anger, to be down inside, destroy us in reality. It mentions clamor, which is, just a loud demanding or complaining, very unpleasant noise, obviously, but not done with the right spirit by any means. And of course, let evil speaking go. Let it all be put away from you, we are commanded here in this 31st verse. Oh, with all malice. We never want to have malice in our hearts, the desire to harm others or to see others suffer. God forbid that these characteristics would be a part of our being. But oh yes, here we are admonished to let all of those be put away. God takes our lives to make us new creatures in Christ. And oh yes, these old tendencies, these old ways. Oh yes, when we yield our life over to the living God, oh, these old ways are going to go. We once were all back there. We all once had our understanding darkened. We were alienated from the life of God through our ignorance. And that blindness of our hearts, as it explained there in that 18th verse that we read already. Oh, we want all these things to go. Oh, yes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yes, as we read in 2 Corinthians, that 5th chapter, verse 17. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. He makes us a new creature. Praise the Lord. He called us out of the world and take all our old ways, our old tendencies, the deadness of our life before we knew the living God, to make us a new creature, to make us His sons and His daughters, His children. Praise the Lord, the sons of God. Praise the Lord. And then, yes, if that life of Christ is in us, verse 32 will be a reality also. It says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, the Spirit that was in Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost is. He puts His Spirit within our being. So, yes, we can become new creatures. And, oh, yes. Oh, the tendencies that were in Jesus can also be in us. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful privilege. What a wonderful gift we have been given. Praise the Lord. Paul wrote about such in Philippians, the third chapter. Let's just go here for a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Yes, we said, we are getting ready to meet the King. We are getting ready to meet the Lord Jesus. That's what life down here is all about. It's, you know, learning to get rid of the old man and put on Christ. And praise the Lord. Paul is talking about it here in this third chapter of Philippians. Praise the Lord. Let's start with verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And he has named some of, you know, the things that people would have assumed he had going for him as, you know, his past credentials. But, you know, when he came to the Lord, when God met him on that road to Damascus, and he saw that light which blinded him, and, oh, talked to his soul, and he knew, oh my, that it was Jesus whom he persecuted. Oh yes, that it was actually God he was persecuting, because he was persecuting Jesus Christ. Amen. And oh my, how it dawned on him, and how his life changed, and all he realized, all that he had done, and all his old desires, and all his old tendencies were as dumb. They were as nothing. Oh my. Yes, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, he writes here. Verse 8 tells us, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they were nothing to him. All those credentials and all the esteem and all the positions that he had there in his past when men thought highly of him. Oh, he was counting them but dung. That's right. And then it says, oh, I count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. See, that all became, oh, such a part of his makeup, all those old things. I don't want anything to do with them anymore. But my whole goal is that, oh yes, I might know Jesus Christ. I might know the power of his resurrection. Praise the Lord that I might have a fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 10, yes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing that when we're buried in the waters of baptism and we go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is compared to dying out to our old man, our old sins, our old tendencies. It's, you know, taking on Christ and being buried with him, being made conformable unto his death. And oh yes, he expresses it here in verse 11, if by any means I might attain or achieve or gain unto the resurrection of the dead. Oh, that's my desire. I want to be right in the sight of God. I want to hear him say, well done, when I meet the King. I want to be ready. I want to have his credentials. Oh yes, that's what my goal is there. That's where my heart is, if I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, or in other words, achieve, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Oh yes, he's working on it. That's his goal. That's in his heart. You know, that's where his efforts are. That's where his goals are. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. See, that old way of life, it's got to go. Those old purposes, those old goals, even the old achievements that were just of this world, you know, that's not what it's all about. We're forging ahead. We're looking for things that are beyond us. That's what our aim is for, and you know, those other things. And sometimes it can be quite a pit for people, you know. And sometimes, you know, I know we all have regrets in life, and there are things that we wish we never would have done or said or believed and all of that. But, you know, we need to forget those things which are behind, as far as all of that. Realize the blood of Jesus has covered that. He's forgiven that past. Those old things have passed away. You know, behold, all things have become new. And so we're striving for something. We're striving for our mastery. We're trying to achieve something that's beyond this world. Oh, yes, that we could be, oh, yes, worthy to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him say, well done. Oh yes, that we could find ourselves ready to meet him. Oh yes, when he comes to gather his children home. Praise the Lord. So yes, Paul saying, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I've not yet got there. I'm not yet achieving, but I'm working on it. I'm going forward. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's what he was aiming for. There was a mark that he was aiming for. It's the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's what life is all about. We're going to all stand before the Lord. Oh, yes, we so desperately are going to need to hear him say, well done. It's either that we will be accepted of him, or otherwise we will be rejected. And oh, what a need there is. Oh, yes, as Paul was writing, oh, my goal, my aim, my desire, I press toward the mark Oh, I'm going to hit it a bullseye right on that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Praise the Lord. Yes, we want to know if there's some hindrance in our life that needs to go. Amen? Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, whatever all we have achieved, what progress we have made, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing, this goal, this prize, this aiming. He says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Well, praise the Lord. That's what we need to look at, those that have walked worthily of the calling of Christ. Because he said this in verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Oh my, no, we don't want our hearts to be on the things of this earth. It says in verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, for our conversation is in heaven. Oh, our conduct, our way of thinking, our goals, they are in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. We're looking for Jesus to come. Oh, for unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's those that are looking for him, those who have a goal. Oh, those that are getting ready to meet the King. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the one who shall change our vile body. Oh, this depraved body, you know, this flesh that we wear at the moment, that it be may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonder it is. The Lord has called us. Oh, yes, we don't have to live in our old ways. He's called us unto something much greater. Oh, yes, something way beyond anything of this world. And praise the Lord, our goal, our minds need to be in heaven. Oh, we're striving for the mark, for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, that's where our mind needs to be. That's where our heart needs to be. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't want to be like those that mind earthly things. But praise the Lord, we can forge ahead. Oh, we're getting ready to meet the King of Kings. We're getting ready for that day when that trump of God sounds and time shall be no more and we stand before the Almighty One. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God that he has given us this opportunity. Oh, praise the Lord, because the kingdoms of this world are going to fall. Praise the Lord, and the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our God. Praise the Lord, it's all going to be over one of these days, and we're going to see the King. Oh, we're going to see the King in his beauty, and we're going to see the land that is far off. Oh, yes, let's make sure our heart, our goals, our minds are in heaven. Praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, he's made a way that we can live in victory, be a new creature in Christ, and go forward, oh yes, to obtain that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, to be ready to meet the King. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. I pray that you work in every heart. Help us, cause us, oh Lord, to be stirred. Make us ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, let our affections be set, oh Lord, on things above and not on things of this world. Oh, God, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Talk to us and help us. Oh, let the devil be rebuked and all. Oh God, all his devices and all his cunning. Oh God, let our minds be in heaven, I ask. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Give your lives, your heart over to the Lord here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals and turn to number 195, We Shall See the King, number 195. There's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. Be safe out there. God bless you all in Jesus' name.